Blake Sands. Look, the first week of the NRL Finals Series. We've gone from 17 to 8, and now we've gone from 8 to 6. I'm AJ Luke Antonio, contributor with the League Unlimited website, the Front Row Program, and the man behind the scenes doing the stats. Joining me is the man with the news, 2SM's Reece Sullivan. Hello, Reece.
Hello, AJ. How are we today?
Not too bad. Both our teams won. The Roosters stay alive. Brisbane moved to week 3. So, all happy in the league scene world this week.
Yeah, I'm sure there were some other fans that didn't have such good weeks, but, oh well, that's on them.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if all you have to do is listen to Savo Dan's post-mortems on the Sharks' demise, and trust me, there was a bit brutal on his boys, but we're going to deliver our own post-mortems to Cronulla and to Canberra. We're going to go through all four games. We're going to go through some of the off-season news because the world that is the National Rugby League continues to deliver thanks to a certain white powder.
Every year.
Actually, we're going to kick off with it. So Valentine Holmes has put out on social media, he was out with a selfie, an energy drink, and a small bag in his mouth that looked like...
Hold on, AJ. I wouldn't call a cruiser an energy drink.
It looked like a Monster Energy... Oh, hang on. Oh, it was a cruiser. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And the thing he's got in his mouth looks like a fucking hotel smart pass. It looks like my swipe pass I use every single day to get into the office.
It looks like one of those little moist towelettes you get from KFC.
Now, the NRL have acted quite quickly. Now, they're going to haul Holmes in on an integrity unit briefing at 11 a.m. tomorrow. But interestingly, Valentine Holmes has come out with quite a bizarre defense, hasn't he?
Yeah, he said that it was a prank gone wrong. Well, my first question would be, what's the prank gone right? But my second question is, if he was completely sober, let's assume it's true, it was just a prank, he was completely sober or maybe just a little bit drunk, how has he ended up posting that onto his Instagram story instead of just sending it to a man?
He probably thought he was on that candid camera show and his mate's probably gone after he's posted it, smile, you're on candid camera.
But so obviously, you know, last year we had the Cameron Munster situation. The year before that, Rick Walsh. Both of those guys took on 2-game suspension as a result.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me if this isn't any different.
Mm-hmm. You ready to get into review?
Let's do it.
Let's go. Brisbane 26, Melbourne 0. And first and foremost, yes, Brisbane played very good. We have to admit that. I host this program with a Broncos man. And yes, Brisbane Twitter has been a bit chaotic as of late.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Your blokes have gone a bit too trigger happy in the last couple of weeks, let me tell you. But let's just get this out of the way. Payne Hart outstanding. Pat Carrigan outstanding. I think it might be Owen Keane and Palacio. Some apologies, mate.
A little bit. He really stepped up this last week. And again, even this week, I did a little bit of him on his collective. I thought one of the big reasons why he performed so well in recent weeks is because he just started with block. I thought he would have had the same sort of stuff in the same bench. But he made me my word. He is phenomenal coming on to play block. And yeah, it really helped see that dip in those minutes where we didn't necessarily have our best four packs on the field.
100%.
Just this touching as well. Thomas Flegler, another one, really stood out to me. I thought that was one of his best games of the season.
12 runs, 102 metres, 30 post-contact metres, 3 tackle breaks, 19 tackles, only the 1 miss and 2 ineffective. Brisbane missed I think it was 32 tackles I put into the system. Yeah, 32 misses. And if you take out Staggs and Walters, a third of the misses were them.
Yeah. Melbourne really pushed, you know, the big guy, little guy sort of thing, forcing the forwards up the middle against Walters. And you had, obviously, as well, a lot of work down that edge trying to get young to appear free to free up, you know, your meanies and your Xavier Coates. But, you know, outside of that, I thought, especially defensively, we really held our own. Melbourne had 32 tackles inside the 20 and didn't have a single point to show for it, which is phenomenal. Yeah, just, you know, first comeback of the season for the Broncos, and we can pick a better time to do it, in my opinion.
100%. Tyson Smith, I thought was good off the bench, sealed his game with a 40-20. Not bad for a Broncos side that took until, I think it was round 24, to kick their first 40-20 of the year.
Yeah, exactly. And we also had that great drop kick from Reynolds, which found touch. Massive momentum shift up.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Excellent little kick there from Smoothie. Thought, you know, Walters and Smoothie, I thought, both played really well in their own separate way. Walters was, you know, at his almost metronomic best, just being settled, consistent, forcing the storm to respect the rock. But then when Smoothie came on, he just completely shifted, you know, more aggressive, kicking out dummy half, running out dummy half, creating space, forcing defenders to step up. And yeah, it was just a perfect rotation from Gabby, I thought.
Reece Walsh's finals debut. I'm going to be quite honest here. I thought there was some good moments, some excellent moments, and then whatever the fuck that challenge was. As Paddy Carrigan famously said, slow your fucking brain.
That's all. That's a fair point, yeah. I think he did get a little bit too over-eager with the ball in his hand. Mostly in the first half. I thought second half he was a lot more calm, and it showed you the try assist.
Yeah, 100% right there, my friend. But for the Melbourne Storm, let's flip the script. That was very disappointing. Like, I get there was a lot of reasons why it was there to fail, but man, it was a massive fud, wasn't it?
Heading into the game, you felt like all the pressure was on the Broncos. You know, they were the ones that had the home field advantage. They were the ones that haven't proven themselves at the final level. But it looked like the Storm were the ones that were panicking, that were under the pressure before. Definitely the most disjointed I've seen from the Storm side in a while. Just really overall disappointing performance. And I'm sure Craig Bellamy let you know.
Yeah, 100% right. Some somber news, though, for Melbourne. Obviously, a number of injury concerns. Seve, Loiero, HIA, Xavier Coates went off injured. But then the absolute hammer blow of Ryan Pappenhuyzen. I think there was... That was just heartbreaking to watch, wasn't it?
Yeah. From the perspective of a Broncos fan, that just soured the entire night. You don't, especially not for a player that has gone through what Pappenhuyzen has to go through. You don't want to see that happen. The good news is there have been positive updates. It seems like he has avoided a compound fracture, which dramatically reduces his recovery time. So hopefully he won't miss too much time. I think Melbourne are targeting him, having him back for pre-season, which if that's true, I think that'll be excellent. And I think Melbourne, you know, getting him back, getting some reps under his belt, I think he'll just come back really stronger, which goes strength to strength.
Yeah, it's just absolutely heart-wrenching. For them, some players that I thought did stand out, I thought Asafa Solomona desperately tried his best to turn the tide. Tarek Sims was good in limited minutes. Josh King never stopped trying all night. Defensively, though, I want to talk Harry Grant. 80 minutes, 10 missed tackles.
I think his shoulder let him down.
Yeah, that I didn't want to mention it too much, but that's a bit alarming.
I think the decision to take Garlic off the bench at the last minute, I don't think that worked. I think, you know, obviously Melbourne had Pappenhausen to play that utility role with Garlic Greens, but he needed to have that done in half. They could come in for Aaron Grant. I don't think he was ready to come back from the shoulder injury. Obviously, try to force it, but I think, you know, combination of trying too hard and also just his body not being able to get into that window where he's able to perform his best.
Yeah, 100%. I think Garlic needs to be on the bench for the game against the Roosters. Munster need to have more ball in his hands. Only 8 carries of the football. Hughes, 9 runs of 50 metres. Hughes, 43 touches. Munster, 48. Some good things, I think, for the Roosters to take out of their game plan. I think from what the Broncos did defensively, got to come up and in, go after Munster nice and early. I know the Roosters are going to have a new look edge. I'm going to talk about what I would do. I'm going to talk about what I think they probably will do and how we can work around it. But I think at the moment, for the Storm next week to beat the Roosters, Munster's got to get more footy out of first receiver, go after the vulnerable edge. And the most important thing is they need to win the middle. They 100% need to win the middle. And I think that the way the Roosters pack has been the last couple of weeks, it's going to be an uphill battle.
Can I say, I was surprised with the Storm's game plan that they weren't targeting Jesse Arthurs more. Like a lot of the traffic, both kicking and running, was really directed down Selwyn Cobbo's side of the field, which I thought was a big mistake. I think out of those two, Arthurs, you know, he doesn't have as much, you know, experience in first grade in the last 24 months. I thought he would have been the one he targeted, but by kicking Cobbo, because he was very solid, I think he only had that one error, which was right after half time. Outside of that, he would just take the kick and get 10, 15 meters easy. So I think it was a bit of oversight from the Storm.
Yeah, and of course, I think Craig will read his team the riot act, and we'll see how they fare against the Tri-White Colours next week. Anything else on this game before we move on to the Panthers-Wires game?
I think we can keep going.
Let's keep on going, my friend. Of course, we'll take...
Oh, wait, there's one more thing we can talk about super quickly.
Yeah, go ahead, mate.
How bloody good is Adam Reynolds?
Yeah, let's
just... Mr. September.
Yep, go ahead, mate.
Mr. September, he massively stepped up for us. Obviously, we were expecting him to have, you know, that other element to his game for the finals, but I think he exceeded expectations for even the most ardent Broncos fan. I thought he was absolutely phenomenal. Didn't put a foot wrong, really.
Yeah, 100%. 2 try assists, 2 line break assists, that intercept as well, which bolstered up his running meters. Good signs there from A-Ray. But moving on. A Panthers 32, Warriors 6. Of course, there's a lot of stuff we'll talk about off-field about this game. Do not mention the word PARS ever again. I'm sick. But Penrith were just ruthless. Like, the Warriors really tried to match it with them early. And I thought when Moses Leota came off injured, I really thought the Wires could get over the top of him. I really thought that. And it was just really a challenge for the Warriors to keep up the momentum, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's scary to see the Panthers just continuing to be able to flex their muscle even in the postseason the way they did. Like, you know, like you said, the other coming off, but they were able to just show, all right, Len Yu, Fisher Harris, Lindsay Smith, here you go, your time to shine. They all did. Just ridiculous how much depth they have throughout that 17. Jack Cogger coming in for Luai, didn't put a foot wrong, played a very solid game. And then, yeah, just that outside back. I will say, I think that connection between Price and Kaluza has been very underappreciated this season. I think, you know, obviously with Price and leaving, it's a bit bittersweet for the Panthers, but they found something special with those two.
Yeah, and I'm really, like, you see Edwards, like, let's just talk Edwards for a second.
two line break assists, a line break, 223 meters. And look, a lot of the commentary has been around Cleary, and rightly so. A try, five goals, a penalty goal, 194 meters, two line breaks, two line break assists, a try assist, 33 runs of the football, three offloads, 21 tackles, two misses. Very good. Like, it's good football, but the problem for me is there's more to this team than Nathan Cleary.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, it's and the thing you hear every time you watch Fox Sports, you watch Channel 9, you watch any sport, like, you watch anything, and it's Cleary this, Cleary that. Of course, there's going to be a big name player in every single side, but the support acts of Edwards, of Cogger especially, like, Jack Cogger was outstanding. Perfect complement for Luai.
And exactly. Again,
as I mentioned before, Fisher Harris, Martin, Yo, Smith, Garner at centre. I mean, we've got to discuss your travel arrangements to Bhutan.
Yeah, apparently so. I'm starting to shave my head, apparently.
Yeah, let's talk. Let's talk about this one. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I've already announced my departure, I guess. I'm going to go to Bhutan to become a monk and basically prove my resilience by setting myself on fire every time Penrith win again.
Yeah.
So, going to be doing a lot, I guess.
Yeah, 100% right.
But I think quickly, I think this is like Cleary. It's very similar to the 2018 Grand Final. The will he, won't he around Super Cross. You know, just holding the inner like, oh, the Roosters, you know, they can't win if they don't have Cross. If Cross is able to play, they can't win. Almost completely undervaluing. First of all, obviously, Luke Cleary, who turned out put in a Clive Churchill performance. But then also the guys like Latrell Mitchell, the forward pack. You know, those guys, I think, were vastly underappreciated by that commentary. And it's unfortunate, but it's continuing to this day where the media just hones in on one player and says this is the be-all and end-all of this very successful team.
Yeah, 100% right. And back for the Warriors, there's some good signs here, I think. Like, even with Sean Johnson getting out, it was 20-0 at halftime. Their ability to stay in the contest, given what happened, I think is a massive thing for them. And then you have, like, Clockstar tried every single ounce. Fenua Blake tried every single ounce. Torhu tried every single ounce. But I think they needed to get a little bit more impact out of Curran. They only played him for 25 minutes. Same with Bailey Sirenin. They only played him 34 minutes. Tavanga, 33. There was a lot of frustration in the side. But ultimately, I'm a little bit concerned for the Warriors at the moment, given that there is so much hype around this side, isn't there?
Yeah, too much. They're going up against a team that's a lot of great form next week in Newcastle. They need to be firing all cylinders. If even with Johnson coming back, if they put in a performance similar to what they did against Penrith, they're going to lose. They need to be ready to go. They need to be able to, especially defensively, they need to be a lot better. But then in attack, they need a couple of lives. They can't afford to just burn chances. I know SJ coming back will probably help that a bit, but still, I think they need to just, you know, snap out of this little run of bad form they've had and just start getting back to the Warriors we saw during the Origin period.
Yeah, and of course, they'll be taking on the Newcastle Knights. Let's just see quickly. They'll get SJ back probably.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll do a big difference. I think Walker works so much better off the bench, is a bit of an impact. That'll be a massive boost, I think, for them.
100% it will be.
Anything else on this game before we move on?
No, I think we can keep on going.
we can keep on going. I'll just add quickly, the Panthers will be playing their final Saturday night.
Wrong way around. Wrong way around.
Oh, sorry, Friday night.
Yeah, well, Broncos play Saturday night at some point.
Correct. This will be the 21st. Yeah, 22nd. And they'll play the winner of the Melbourne Roosters game, while the Broncos will play the winner of the Warriors Knights game. My apologies.
On the 23rd.
On the 23rd, of course. Yeah. Moving on, elimination finals now. Qualifying finals wrapped up. A bit underwhelming, as we mentioned. But Roosters 13, Sharks 12, and I have something very special. I've been waiting a long time to do this. It is time for my special rendition of a classic team song that I've been waiting a long time to take the piss out of. Down, Cronulla, you're lost to the Roosters tonight. Down, Cronulla, I'll turn all this we go. Down, forever, maybe to be will peel. Now's the time to see street football for the Sharks. Again!
10 out of 10.
You gotta have some fun, don't you?
Most beautiful thing I've ever heard, AJ.
Thank you. But anyway, let's just talk all things first about this game for the Sydney Roosters Football Club, ladies and gentlemen. Because we have proven against the odds, time after time, that we can have no Teddy for 10 minutes, no Manu, and no Teddy, or no Suali'i for the second half, playing Sandon Smith at fullback for 10 minutes, and we could still win. Just let that sink in for a second. Good job. Like, that is one of the famous wins I have ever seen from this club.
Yeah, I agree. It is the best word for this title, is gutsy.
Determined, passionate, everything on the table. And I thought we were gone the second James Tedesco decided to be, you know, stupid with
a lockout.
No, I'm saving that lol cow for later. But yes. Yes. Yeah, I thought we were gone at that point. That came straight down that left-hand side. And to be honest with you, that should have been the blueprint for Cronulla to attack the rest of the game. They should have gone down that left-hand side and absolutely decimated us. But they didn't. And we continued to hang in there. Let's just talk about this quickly. Do you think that decision to go for goal will haunt Cronulla for the next few years?
I don't know. Like, you know, hindsight's always going to be quite a quality. In the moment, it was the perfectly correct decision.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, the best way to make sure that decision was correct was to actually play defense. And when the ball ricochets off the marker on a rubber kick, make sure you know who's going to catch it and tackle them.
Yeah, 100%. Right. Let's just see quickly. Like, I just thought after they went for goal, it was 12-6, where you had Teddy come back on the field. Like, I have heard a lot from Sharks fans in the last few weeks, the last few hours, I should say, about Blake Brayley. I think they have a reasonable case that his job at hooker is very, very sketchy.
I think both the Brayleys have been a bit massively overrated, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But question is, almost no rookies coming up through the grade at the moment. And the ones that are all locked in. You know, you've got your Blake Moser locked into 2025. You've got a couple of others that are still around for a piece of the coming up to their current clubs. There's just no one for the Sharks to really turn around and go, right, this is the guy we want. Let's go and get it.
Mm-hmm. 100% right. But from there, the Roosters took advantage. That grubber kick from Sandon ricocheted straight into the waiting arms of Siwa Wong. And the scenes at my place when I woke up my 75-year-old grandmother were not pleasant.
Always a celebrator.
Yeah, I screamed very loudly, very happy, and I thought I was happy. And then I saw Billy Smith pick up the ball and take the shot at goal.
Look, at least they've stopped relying on Podesta now as the backup goal kicker.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, but I saw Sam walking around. I'm like, please, not another fucking injury. But it's all good. He's fine. Billy took the goal. We got 12 all. Toby Rudolph dropped the ball. And then Sam Walker turned into Sammy Ice. Beautiful strike of the ball. It was 13-12. But then the dumbasses concede a penalty. Pardon?
You can't have anything nice, can you?
No, we damn can't. No, we bloody can't. But Nicho Hynes had 2 charge downs. And to be honest with you, I'm going to be honest with you. Tedesco was onside from the first one, but from the second one, Sam Walker is definitely not square at marker.
At the same time, they haven't necessarily been consistent in calling those this season. So I'm not surprised they held their whistle for a final.
Yeah. Don't be too surprised there, mate.
Of course not.
Yeah, 100%, mate. Let's just talk through some players, if you don't mind.
Yep. Go ahead.
Siwa Wong, obviously. I am going to very apologize, Victor Radley. Very, very sorry. But you proved me wrong.
There we go. Finally.
18 runs. 141 metres, and this is the big one. It was exact run-to-pass ratio of 1.
Wow.
Can you believe it with Victor, the bloke who's passed more times than I've probably whinged about him, actually did something good. He actually did something good.
Shocker.
Yeah, 100%. And then, but another one I want to give a rap to, Terrell May. 13 runs, 122 meters. How good was that?
Phenomenal. He has really come along in leaps and bounds this season, hasn't he?
He has just had a lot of good going for them. And he's taken advantage of it.
Just really took his chance and grabbed it. You know, even as a young guys at the Roosters, really taking every opportunity. You know, what looked like last season is though they'd be in a very, very poor situation with a handful of injuries, with JWH and impending retirement, or seemingly impending retirement. Now it looks like they're set for the next you know, a few years with the forward back they have.
Yeah, 100%. Angus Crichton, I thought, delivered, but let's just talk about injuries for the Chooks. Obviously, no Manu, no Suaalii next week. Suaalii with his second concussion in that period of time. But so changes to next week on that edge. I'm going to move Corey Allen to the wing. And this is going to be a bit controversial, but I've seen enough from Samuel Wong in recent weeks to keep him at centre.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair entirely. He performed really well. So I think he's earned the right to hold his spot. And I think actually he hasn't proved enough this season at centre to look at him and go, we need to rush him. You know, in this case of emergency, we need to break the glass and put Hutchinson at centre. So I think it's right.
100%. So from there, Angus Crichton moves to the edge. And my boy Fahu White is back on the bench.
Yeah, I agree.
The fact now that I have started a movement that has seen people want Fahu White in the side, I'm very proud of.
Yeah, it's a massively strong side. I think, you know, Mel, a couple injury concerns. I'm not going to sit here and say, out and out, the Roosters are going to win. But yeah, 100%. I definitely think you'd be taking from the storm next week.
Yeah, but for Cronulla, let's do some post-mortems. Fitzgibbon needs to learn how to use his bench. Oregon Kafusi, 20 minutes. Jesse Colquhoun, 11 minutes. That shit is absolutely criminal.
At the NRL level, you can't get away with that. At this level, you need to be able to maximize the production out of your bench. And if you're only using them for, you know, less than 20 minutes a game, you're not doing that.
Yeah, 100% right, my friend. And then you're giving 62 minutes to Kobe Rudolph, 34 minutes to your starting prop.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense. Weird rotation. I don't know. I feel like Fitzy still has a lot to learn about head coaching. I think he lucked into a really well-balanced and talented side last year. But I think once they got to the finals, this is the case for 2022 and 2023, some of those flaws with the game plan have been very much exposed.
Yeah, 100%. I think Hines needs to do a little bit more. I think the Sharks need to figure out a way where they can fast-track either Jaden Beryl or Sam Healy. Because I just don't think they're getting enough from Brayley at the moment.
And that's such a risk, though. Like, switching your dummy half entirely without letting one of them come through, you know, slowly, like what the Broncos are doing with Blake Moser. Such a massive risk.
Yeah, 100%, my friend. And I think a lot going on at the moment. We'll just have to wait and see.
100%. I think as long as they don't go to Northeast for Mad Monday, I think they should be able to be pretty sweet.
100%, my friend. But question mark, do you think Trindle's long-term six until Dykes is fully fit?
I think so. I think he's proved himself a lot few weeks. So he can definitely play the six. And I think he's very rock solid. I think his ceiling is probably maybe a little bit lower than Wode, but his floor is much, much higher. So I think, especially if Hines are going to be getting more of the ball in the future, having Trindle at six would be the best option going forward for the Sharks.
100% right, my friend. Anything else on the Chooks or the Sharks? We move on to The Knights game?
We can move on, I think. Well, obviously, it's going to be very tough with the Roosters against the Storm next week. I'll just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. 100%, my friend. Let's move on. Newcastle 30, Raiders 28. One of the games of the finals series. Jesus, that was a loud bang. Let's just go through this quickly. Knights started out like a house on fire. Greg Marju with a try in the fifth minute. They created some nice play down the left-hand side. It was quite nice. But all of a sudden, the Knights found themselves in a position they haven't found themselves in this nine-game winning streak. They looked a bit lost at sea for the rest of the first 40.
Yeah, Canberra just really, we were able to capitalise off that Gagai mistake score, but they also had a couple no tries leading up to that. So they were really pressuring the Knights, and they finally got their chance, and then the floodgates opened a little bit with a couple more tries right before halftime. All of a sudden, Knights going to halftime 16-6 down. You're beginning to wonder, is this the end for the Newcastle Knights? Have they made their run too early?
Yeah, 100% right, my friend. But there, James Schiller had a wow the first half, picking up two tries. But then Trey Mooney kind of stole the show with that individual try, didn't he?
Lovely try from Trey Mooney. Tell you what, Raiders have a bit of a player on their hands with him, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Like, that was a big effort from him. From there, we got to halftime at 16-6. But Newcastle responded brilliantly. Some nice interchange. Hang on, before we ever get to that, we had a bit of a blighting accusation, didn't we?
And Chompers.
So let's discuss this. Jackie Wyden, what do we think? Do we think he's a lucky boy he stayed on the field? Or do we think that Ashley Klein did something rare and maintained good discipline?
I think he's definitely a lucky boy to not be sent off for that. I thought there was pretty clear evidence on Tyson Gamble's arm. There was bite marks. I thought there was some pretty, maybe not as 100% clear, but still evidence that Whiten did chomp down on it during the tackle. I think you compare it to the Ash Werner case a couple of weeks ago in the NLW. I think there was probably more in this one than there was in that one. And that one was easy sent on. So I think he's very lucky not to be marked.
Yeah, 100% right, my friend. But from there, I thought that was sort of the moment this game changed.
Galvanized the Knights. They scored off the next set.
And you saw a try scored by Kalen Ponga. That was some nice silky skills from Kurt Mann, who deputized quite nicely for Jackson Hastings, didn't he?
It was just a very good shift from Kirk Mann, obviously a player who the Knights have already announced will be leaving at the end of the season, presumably to join Bulldogs. But nice little, parting gift to get this win. I'm sure he'll be looking, if Hastings isn't healthy, he'll be putting his hand up in the 7 jersey, even with Clune in the squad.
Yeah, so from there, the Knights again targeted that right-hand side. And they capitalised Dominic Young crossing, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Very, again, just off the back of Ponga, being able to split the line, draw in the fullback, and then get the pass to Young. He still had a lot of work to do. He had Rapana come across and try to coat-hanger him. He still had the French conversion on him, and he just, put the head down, went to the corner, put the ball down. Very, very lovely with pride. I'm sure that makes you very happy, AJ, as well.
Yeah, of course I am with Dominic Young smashing. But off the next set, they were able to do the exact same thing. Dominic Young blitzing away down the right-hand side and Dane Gagai picking up a rare try. And then it was sort of the same moment all over again. Yeah, you had A crossfield kick from Canberra, wide and knocked on. Tyson Gamble, of all people, picked it up and found Dominic Young. So 28-16. The game looked home and host for the Knights. And then you had Dominic Young drop it off the short kickoff. And then Matt Frawley stepped up, didn't he?
Yeah, just probably the whole close his eyes and popped out the other side. Yeah, what, very solid 5-8 run.
That's what Leeds signed. And then the Knights decided to nearly choke the game, make some absolute amateur mistakes, which resulted in Lachlan Fitzgibbon getting hooked. And then Joseph Tarpany, ladies and gents.
What a player. Stepped up. Yeah, that was almost what Papa Lee used to do back in the day. Yeah, with ever the regular little try, they'd turn to Papa. Half a day is that new guy. They just put the ball in his hand, spun out of a tackle, hit the contact, turns, offloads, and then Tom Starling, right next to the line, crashes over. All of a sudden, 28-28.
Yeah. And then we had some... And then just when you thought it could get even more crazy. Adam Elliott, ladies and gentlemen. Dumbass.
Dumbass, seriously.
And then Golden Point happened. Both sides tried. They made some absolutely silly mistakes. And then Hudson Young was pinned for being inside the tent. So we're just spanking a moment ago. Weren't we?
Yeah, the Sharks game, yeah.
Now we've got this.
Okay.
Given Ashley Klein's in the box, mate, you really expect it.
Yeah, obviously. But didn't I say as well all year that a team would be going home because of a referee mistake?
Yeah, 100%. But Ponga nailed the goal, but the Raiders tried some second phase play and was unsuccessful, and they're out, weren't they?
Yes, it's the first time a Ricky Stewart coach team has gone to a final and failed to win again.
Quite sad state of affairs for Ricky Stewart, but the Raiders season is over. Let's kick off the post-mortems.
Yes. So the first question, did the Raiders necessarily deserve to be there? Or were they just, you know, off the back of that one little run of form, they were able to beat the Broncos and a couple of other, you know, mid-tier teams?
I really need to do this sound, Rhys, so bear with me.
Feel good.
Because we surveyed 100 people. And the number one answer is on the board. Survey says... Bam, bam.
Yeah.
Is Jack Whiting going to be a big loss for Canberra next year? No, he won't, because he's going to be serving a lengthy suspension for biting, potentially. However...
Likely.
Yes. They need to lock up Mariotta. I thought he was outstanding today. They need to find a way to include Trey Mooney in the side a bit more. There's rumours Cronulla are in talk with him at the moment.
Be a great pickup with Sharkies. A great pickup.
So, let's talk about Ricky Stewart. Do you think he should stay on?
I don't know. I think he might be 1 year past his best, to be honest.
So my next question to that, who should stay? Who should be next? Yeah.
That's the issue. I think you'd argue, first of all, obvious candidate was Michael Maguire, given he's already in position. Does he deserve a third chance in the NRL?
Yeah. So looking ahead to next week's week two finals matches, you got the Roosters and Melbourne from Amy Park in Melbourne, 7:50 on Friday. Then on Saturday, you've got the Warriors and Newcastle from Go Media Stadium. That is at the earlier time of 4:05 p.m. So, of course, we're going a bit earlier. We're acknowledging the Wire's success. Just a quick note. I want to ask this question, and you can knock it back if you want. Phoenix Crossland, 60 tackles in a monster effort today. Where does that leave Jaden Brayley?
On the bench, I think. Coming back next season, obviously with Kurt Mann going, that number 14 jersey is open. I think that's probably going to be Brayley's to lose, but it would take a massive preseason to go back into the number 9 jersey straight away.
Mm-hmm.
I think right now, Crossland's locked up that jersey. He's been one of the, you know, key cogs of this massive win streak, both with his, you know, rock solid defense, but also a little bit of attacking, you know, a little bit of attacking like he has come out of half, obviously being primarily a halfback. So I think right now, the number 9 jersey is being spotted to lose, but I definitely think Brayley, if he's able to put his ego aside, to, you know, do the best for the team, he'll be able to come up with that number 14.
100%, my friend. So let's move on to the NRLW real quick. Starting with round 8 of the competition, second last round of the weekend. Sharks 16, Dragons 8. Really good display in this game. Tegan Berry, 213 metres. Anessa Biddle, 205. Emma Tonegado, though, the star for me, 2 line break assists, a try assist. For the Dragons, I mentioned Berry already. Nathan Wong, I thought, was good. Racine McGregor probably needs to step up a little bit. I think she's been a bit underwhelming this season. The women's Dally M medalist. Tara McGrath-West, Angelina Tikalanga-Katoa, pretty strong. But a couple things need to change, I think, for the Dragons. Jamie Soward has really got his work cut out for him.
We'll probably go into this offseason. I know Soward has had that extension. So he will, I guess, be in charge of this little rebuild. The Dragons will go on. It'll be interesting to see who stays, who goes, who they bring in. But yeah, just overall, hard not to say the disappointing season for the Dragons.
Yeah. Brisbane 22, Tigers 18. Tigers led this game at one stage, 16 points to 6. They came back with 3 tries. Sasolka scoring the winner in the 66th minute. But before we talk about the game, there is something very important that we need to address here concerning 2 of the Broncos women's players, one being Tony Hunt and one being Lavinia Gould. Now, we mentioned earlier this year in our NRLW wrap about how Tony Hunt came through and battled cancer to return to the field. Unfortunately, that has since come back.
Yeah, it's devastating.
Absolutely heart-wrenching. And then you have Lavinia Gould, young daughter, serious condition in hospital after surgical complications. This is just heart-wrenching.
Yeah. Look, it's devastated the entire rugby community.
Yeah. There are GoFundMe pages set up on the Broncos website. Very important that you check them out. On to the game. Rekia Horn has really stood out this year, along with Sarah Tokatuki, Nevada George, Kezzy Apps are all outstanding. Elsewhere for the Broncos, Hufanga good, Sasolka good, Julie Robinson good, Brianna Clark, Romy Tite still good. I thought the Broncos really showed some resilience when Aneta Nuosala went to the bin. It's a big confidence boosting win for the Broncos this season, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, great win against, you know, an opponent that has been, they've had their up and down, the Tigers. But yeah, obviously, top four on the line, Broncos going into it, knowing they needed to win these last few games. Tigers could give them, but the Broncos really stepped up and made sure they walked away with a dub.
Yeah. Newcastle 20, Roosters 4. Roosters missing two stars are a bit disappointing in the game, completing at only 68%. John Strange wouldn't be happy. Isabel Kelly and Keely Joseph tried their guts out, but Tamika Upton, the star, and deservingly so for the Broncos, she was outstanding. Jessie Southwell crossing for a great individual try. She beat about five of them on her way to the line in quite an impressive effort. But a lot to look forward to in the next coming weeks. Both of Saturday's games ended up 34 points to 12. Useless stat of the episode.
Love those.
Let's start off. Go on.
Love those.
You love it. You absolutely love it. 34 points to 12 win for Canberra over the Cowboys. Madison Bartlett's. Oh, hang on. How many try scorers did they have? They had seven different try scorers. Great, entertaining display. It was 22-0 at halftime. The Cowboys scored two tries late. They lost fullback Fern Goldthorpe in the first 17 minutes of play due to injury. A lot of injuries in this game. I think we had about 10 injuries. The game went for 2 hours.
Yeah,
I will say Manzelman, Rastrand Smith, and bench forward Lily Peacock outstanding. Peacock off the bench, 54 minutes, made 38 tackles.
Yeah. Phenomenal effort from the girls.
100% right. But for the Raiders, let's just go through it. Tungai, 204 metres. Kemp, 142 before. Yep, that was good. Holyman, 134. Taufa, 160. So some good signs there for the Raiders, and they're on track for the finals.
Yeah, well, it depends on that last game, doesn't it? But is that technically, it's not in their hands, is it?
100% right. Titans 34, Eels 12. Eels started off really good, but the Titans just ran wild before the break. Jamie Chapman picking up a hat-trick. So some good signs there for both sides. Kennedy Cherrington made her return from suspension. 42 made tackles. Georgia Hale made 40. But for the Eels, they look resigned to the wooden spoon, unfortunately.
Yeah, just rough season for the Eels, unfortunately. I'll correct myself just quickly on a previous mistake. It is technically still in the Raiders' hands to make the final. They just have to beat the Titans next week by a total, or by at least, I'm just trying to work the maps out in my head. 12 points. And that will get into the top four.
Yeah, 100%. Looking at the ladder that Reese was just alluding to, Knights 14, Roosters 12, Titans 12, Broncos 10, Raiders 10, the four and against proving a little bit different. Dragons 6 now of the race, along with the Sharks, Tigers, Cowboys, Eels. Only the Raiders are the only expansion team left to make the top five. And, of course, there's a bit more with the NRLW. They're talking about widening the expansion, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I mean, obviously, the goal is eventually we're going to have a comp at the same level with the NRL, whether that's going to be 17 teams or if they're delayed, so it comes at the same time as the 18th team comes with the NRL, an ACC comp both ways. But it's interesting to hear that they want to accelerate that process and maybe even expand up to 14 teams in the near future.
100%. On to our lower grade report. Let's just go through this quickly. New South Wales Cup week 2 semis. Warriors 49, Raiders 6.
Yes.
A bit of a wild one.
Yeah.
Let's just go through some big name players. Ronald Volkman, 11 points, 5 goals, 8 attempts, a field goal. Bench forward Maya Sands, 47 minutes, 2 tries, quite solid. Tom Ale, Isaiah Vangana, Volkman, Kossi, Lea Tauta, all very, very solid. All very solid players, let me tell you.
Exactly.
For the Raiders, let's just go through it. No run really of note here. Asamoah slip shields over 100 meters. Defensively, teared apart on the edges and through the middle. And a disappointing end to their season.
Yeah, it was, unfortunately. Yeah, just absolutely decimated.
Next one, this was the one straight to the grand final. Souths 30, North Sydney 24. Souths led 24-4 at halftime. Souths did a stage of second half fight back, but a late Tom Carr try sealed the difference. Looking at some players, Alan Fitzgibbon was good. Jake Turpin was good. As far as try assists are concerned, Ben Stefanovic had 3 of them. Jake Turpin played lock Reese. 4 runs, 20 meters, and 35 tackles, 1 miss, 1 ineffective.
Even a block number. Jesus.
I know we've had our differences with Mr. Turpin in the last few weeks. We'll see how we go over the next couple of weeks, let me tell you. For the South Sydney side, some names of note. Isaac Thompson was very strong. Jacob Gagai, good. Shaq Mitchell, outstanding. Set up the first shot of a peach of a run and offload. Ben Lovett, Talis Duncan, all pretty solid as well.
Great. Yeah, very, very strong team. Surprising if they do match up again in the grand final.
Yeah, 100% right. Let's just have a look at next week's game. It will be between the New Zealand Warriors and the North Sydney Bears for the New South Wales Cup grand final to play Souths.
Yeah, should be a really good game. Looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to Queensland, the Wild scores don't leave us. Burnley 57, Winner Manly 8.
Wowza.
Burley led 20-0 at halftime, didn't turn back. They even gave Keanu Keeney an early mark after 40 minutes, and he had, in 49 minutes, 218 run meters. My God.
What a player.
Elsewhere, Isaac Fasuma-Awi, 202 meters, Mamalo, 189. What about this from the bench forward, Matthew Colner, 53 minutes, 2 tries, 163 metres, 2 line breaks.
Bloody hell.
Talk about efficiency. Jacob Aylik was also good on the edge. Forward of Manly, even in a losing effort, they'll beat him by 49 points. But Corey Jensen still smashed out over 220 metres.
Very good performance.
Yeah. Let me just see where it went wrong. Oh, Jesus Christ. Just brace yourself when you read some of these missed tackle numbers. Deloise Hoyta missed 9.
That's not good.
Brendan O'Hagan, the 5'8", misses 8.
Oh, jeez.
Jock Madden misses 5 and has 5 ineffective.
Oh, no.
Hang on, it does get better. Corey Jensen only missed 3, 2 ineffective, and made 27.
Oh, yeah. I'm worried for
a second. So it's not all bad news. And I will mention one other one. Oliver Pascoe, the hooker. 38 made tackles is good. 4 ineffective and 8 misses, though. That ain't good, Chief.
Yeah.
Moving on. Today's prelim final saw Brisbane Tigers 14, Capra 6. George Jennings, Solomon Apatape, Kane Bradley tries. Hope kicked a goal. 4 of the Capras, Donoghue a try, and Trey Brown kicked a goal. This Solomon Apatape, 22 runs, 282 metres. George Jennings, 247. Joe Chan ran over 100 metres. So some good signs there. Defensively, they only missed tackles. They only missed 29 tackles. So good effort from them. The Capras, though, Huebner was good. JJ Collins was outstanding. He had 195 metres. What an effort.
Wow.
But defensively, they left a lot to be desired. They, as a team, missed 62 tackles. That ain't getting you the finals footy, Chief.
That's pretty poor, I must say.
Yeah, so next week's grand final, live on Fox Sports, 5:30 next Sunday night. It will be the Burley Bears and the Brisbane Tigers.
Very, very good game, I reckon.
So I guarantee you, if you're anywhere, watch the game.
Ironically, we're getting the Storm versus the soon to be Broncos. Again, pretty much the third week in a row.
A Burley going to Brisbane?
Yeah, it was announced a couple months ago.
Oh, that's right.
After we lost North.
See, the Titans were nice. They kept everyone.
But now, please.
Hey, and of course, the winner advances through to the state challenge.
Yes, that's correct.
But anyway, Reese, it's time for this week's lolcow of the week.
No.
This week goes to the Penrith Panthers and their social team. I'm cringing at the thought of up the Waz. Up the Paz, are you kidding me? That's just so cringe. And the fact that there are people tweeting and defending this. People that we know and love on this show, mate. Like Nat. No!
Awful.
Very, very much cringe. But where do you think on the offensive scale it goes?
Tell them to make a decision to post that.
Who knows? But, mate, what do you have for us?
Yeah, woeful. And woeful decision by the Panthers. It is today.
Yes. Yes. Tell them how it happened.
One of the worst NFL performances I have ever seen. He had 4 drops on, I think it was 6 targets. Somehow managed to drop a pass right into his hands, which turned into a pick 6 up the other end. And the Chiefs, because of that, have lost in week 1. To the Detroit Lions, who a few years ago could barely win a game.
full credit to the way they've rebuilt it, though.
Of course. But at the end of the day, it's still a team that missed the playoffs last season. I still think they're going to be battling for a wild card spot this year. I don't think they can win the division over the Vikings. But
we'll see, mate. Stranger things have happened. But
of course.
Let's just round this out. Bold prediction heading into week 2. What have you got?
I don't know which one it's going to be, but I reckon one of the bottom 4 teams will make an upset.
I'm going to be bold.
You're going to go straight for the Roosters?
Got it in one. I think the Roosters go down to Melbourne and get it done. Like, let me have a look at our record in Melbourne. Let me just have a look at our record in Melbourne, because I think it's better than most. Oh, shit. No, it's not. We've won 36% of matches there. But time out. I want to see what our record's like there under Robbo and circumstances behind games. Rugby League Project. Amy Park. Results. Roosters. Head to head. Okay. 2011. Yep, we were shit. 2012. Yeah, we were shit. 2015, we were playing Langi Sets when Willie Manu off the bench. That doesn't count. 2016, we were shit. 2017, Vunivalu should have been sent off for his kung fu kick to Connor Watson. 2021, we were injury hit. And the other one was because Victor Radley was a dickhead.
Fair enough.
Summed up in a couple of words. I think we could do it.
Well, hey, like us Broncos fans said, if there was ever a time to break a hoodoo,
it's now.
Now.
But you know what? That will wrap us up for our look at week 1 of the playoffs. Reese, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, AJ.
And, of course, next week we'll be back with our look at week 2 of the finals, the final round of the NRLW, week 3 of the New South Wales Cup, and the grand final of the Queensland Cup. So we'll see you then for our look at the second week of the playoffs. See you, everyone.
Bye, guys.